The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
What is happening? Welcome to the Buzz Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 24th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Luis Gil has made the Yankees rotation as a number five starter. Go and get him now. His four-seamer is amazing. He has changeups he throws for strikes, and he also has a fantastic slider. And the fact that he has two secondaries now to throw for strikes makes it a lot more reliable in season that Luis Gil isn't just going to peter out with terrible command. That said, I do need to highlight the fact that A, Luis Gil maybe isn't as stretched out as some other guys, so we don't really expect constant six innings from Luis Gil. And second, his four-seamer command does need to be a little bit better, as it only really works as well as it should if he locates it upstairs. That said, Luis Gil is right around the top of that AJ Puck tier. There's a part of me that even wants to push him further above, say, teammate Nestor Cortez or Christian Javier, and I might decide to do that when I have my last update of the list on Wednesday. There was a small temptation to make that on Tuesday, but I'm likely just going to do it on Wednesday. However, go get Luis Gil. Just go and do that. Him being the fifth starter for the Yankees is confirmed. It is a first start against the Diamondbacks. You want to do that. I'm all in on Luis Gil right now. Julio Teheran has opted out of his contract as the Orioles say, yeah, you're not making the major league roster. And that really means that the Orioles do not have much starting pitching depth after Cole Irvin. Could mean Albert Suarez gets an opportunity before John Means or Kyle Brash returns. It could mean Chase McDermott or Cade Povich or Justin Armbruster as well. Keep that in mind. It's just an interesting little wrinkle as the season is going to move forward. That's a weird sentence. Taijuan Walker is expected to hit the IL with shoulder soreness. Not too surprising considering Walker's been really poor this spring and under 90 miles per hour on his fastball. Spencer Turnbull looks like the guy that's going to be taking the spot in the rotation in the first pass. I'm not really in on that. We'll talk about his performance yesterday later on, and it's not something you need to go after for your fantasy teams. Mick Abel could arrive if that's not really working out, and Taijuan Walker needs more time. You have Gavin Stone and James Paxton flipping their rotation spots. I initially assumed Paxton would be four and Gavin five, but it looks like now Stone is four and Paxton is five. Why does that matter? Because the Dodgers are playing four games before Sunday. If you are in an ESPN league that has it going Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday as your first matchup, James Paxton will not make a start in that league, while Gavin Stone will on Sunday. That is a big difference, and just keep that in mind. Justin Steele, my apologies. He is expected to start opening day after taking a comebacker to the knee, so all is good there. Games from yesterday, Brian Baio went 5.1 innings of one earned run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. My take on Baio has been a little weird throughout the entire offseason. I often have this, I have a philosophy about how to structure your team entering the year and which pitchers are the ones that are capable of becoming major breakouts. Brian Baio fits a lot of that mold of being able to go every 5 days and go six innings constantly. The biggest question is, can you become a 25% strikeout arm consistently? I don't know if he can, because it's a sinker changeup, and really the question is, that slider, is he really going to develop that to push himself over the edge and really elevate him into top 20, top 25 SP status? I don't know, and I might be a little too high in my ranks on Baio because of that. Is he really going to have a whip that is better than 115? Is he going to have a better than 3.8 ERA? It might just be a Holly, that is a Toby, that is above a 20% strikeout rate. At least we saw 4 over 17 slider whiffs yesterday. He looks like he's generally in command, but hey, 8 base runners, 5.1 innings. I might be a little too aggressive in my ranks with Baio, especially considering the home park is Fenway. On the other side of it is Jared Jones, 5 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Similar story in that Four Walks is really scary for Jones. And I'm not really seeing a guy that is ready to just absolutely dominate. I would actually say that Luis Thiel is in a better position to dominate than Jared Jones is. The four-seamer comes in hard. The slider looks really filthy. 8 whiffs yesterday, but that's it. It's just 2 pitches there. And Jared Jones's four-seamer command has not looked pristine to me. I quoted a lot his 240 innings plus in the minors previously that had a sub-10% walk rate, but this four-walk effort is more of what I was expecting, as his four-seamer is just kind of, I don't know, not really where he wants it to go. And he's not able to just kind of drive through it straight to the top of the zone as I would think he would be able to. So there's a little bit of hesitation there, not to throw in, well, not to mention, and I want to throw in, the Pirates. Not great for wins, and Jared Jones doesn't really feel like a 6-inning guy. So I would favor Thiel over Jared Jones. I'm interested in both. I can't say sentences. But yeah, Jared Jones, he's probably going to get the rotation spot. I mean, really, you go 5 innings here. This late in spring training, I'd be shocked if he doesn't. Spencer Turnbull, 3 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks, as I mentioned. He is a cut fastball sweeper guy. Not what I expected. Really, it's kind of interesting. I've learned a lot about pitch shape and being able to use our player pages to understand pitchers so much faster than I used to, especially with their pitch movement. And Spencer Turnbull's fastball is a cutter, really. Just think of it as a cutter. So he's kind of the Graham Ashcraft, just not throwing as hard as he is. And, well, that's not really even fair because it's more of a sweeper. While Ashcraft doesn't have a sweeper, it's more of a gyro. Anyway, Spencer Turnbull could theoretically be cutters inside to lefties and sweepers away to righties. There just isn't anything that goes arm side much. Sometimes he does have a sinker, and if he does go arm side with the sinker to righties, then this whole thing can work. I'm curious what we see over 5 innings from Turnbull. We only saw 3 innings here. It was 40% CSW across 52 pitches, really 39%. Why didn't I just say the direct number? My inclination is that this really isn't going to work that well. However, take note of it. Maybe Taiwan Walker's out for a little bit. Maybe Spencer Turnbull is locked in with that command. He was keeping his four-seamer glove side, so maybe there is something there. Carlos Rodon is not looking good, though. 4 innings, 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts, and it's 94.1 miles per hour on the four-seamer. Yep, we want to see 95.5, hopefully 96. And we've got 94.1. We've been waiting all spring. Come on, give us the number that we can lean into. And no, I'm not in. I just think that this is who he is now. And that's just what the Yankees have to deal with. Kenta Maeda, 3.2 innings, 6 earned runs, 10 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. 89.4 on his. Ugh, he was in 91 last year. 90 is what we saw in the last start. The command looked better on his last outing too, and overall his slider and his splitter just returned 6 whiffs on 39 thrown. I'm a little worried. I mean, I know I keep going back and forth on these guys, and it's really, for me, I get excited that they keep showing a trend in some way, and then they're going back down. It's only so much data that we have. With Kenta Maeda, the command of his splitter and slider are more important than the velocity. And you see the whiffs and you see, like, okay, cool, he lived in the zone. What do you want? Well, 10 hits showcases that he's very hittable. He needs to be a nibbler. He needs to be more the neckbeard approach that is not really throwing much in the zone and living outside of it and forcing guys to overextend to hit him. I'd rather see the walk rate up than the hit rate up. And to see 10 hits and 1 walk here from Kenta Maeda, like, no, Nick, we want a good K-minus walk rate. I kind of think it's not the worst thing ever, guys, to have a bad walk rate at times, right? So this is not good for Maeda, and I feel like it's a cherry bomb scenario. That said, it is a good schedule early in the year for the Tigers. You should probably see Maeda the first weekend, so it's still something you might want to go for opening weekend, but just good luck. Yusei Kikuchi, someone I upped in the list last week in the update, 3.1 innings of 8 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Yeah, not great. And I was said, you know, I've been undervaluing Kikuchi. I think it's really just going to be more of the same, if not slightly better. And his command was terrible. I mean, the command of four seamers and sliders inside the zone, they were just pretty much interlaced like middle. You can't do that. You got to pitch separation. Kikuchi's never really been a command guy, though. And that's something maybe I was overlooking. I don't know what to do with Kikuchi right now. Do I want Luis Thiel or Yusei Kikuchi? I probably want Thiel. Kikuchi's going to go more frames, full year, has a higher win chance, but at least you'll know what to do with heal. You won't necessarily with Kikuchi. I don't know. I mean, if he is showcasing his command better and like having that pitch separation for at least three starts, then okay, you will know. But odds are he won't. Ah, that the whole middle area from like 40 to 65 is so hard. And that's always the hard part. Everything else is like so clearly split up. And I don't know. I just want to take heal just because it's also really fun. There you go. Christian Javier. Oh, I should also mention player raider stuff is so silly. And I'm going to tell you right now, Yusei Kikuchi far more likely to have a higher player rater at the end of the year. Why? Because you can probably say that the innings pitched will be higher for Yusei Kikuchi, which thus means he gets more strikeouts and he gets more wins. And wins are such a massive player rater affect or a variable. That is, the player rater so heavily values a guy with 12 wins over 10. But there are other things and with the whole season's journey that will make it as a fantasy manager totally different. And also keep in mind, you get 140 innings from one guy. That doesn't mean you just don't get those other innings. That means you replace it with something else and you probably get the wins made up. Also, Christian Javier, 4.2 innings, one earned run, two hits, three walks, and three strikeouts. So Christian Javier is somebody who I'm a fan of because of the changeup showing up. 3 for 15 strikes in this one. It's the stabilizer. And you say, Nick, three walks and only three Ks? About five innings with one earned run and a one whip. Hi, Christian Javier. I will take that all day from you because when your four-seamer is actually well spotted and maybe you get slider strikes too, oh man, you're going to do really well. But Nick, you talk about new skill versus old skill. The new skill would disappear and the old skill will still be gone. That's a really good point, random person in my head. I actually believe that Christian Javier showcased this new changeup a ton this spring. He didn't have it at all last year and all of a sudden show up and use it as much as he is right now is very, very encouraging. I think a lot of people are going to look at this spring and go, this isn't very good. I'm in. I think this is one of the areas where it's really important to understand spring. And this is also the Tao of Nick of where I'm all about the arsenal and the additions of it and understanding what they do for the pitcher. And I feel like this changeup really does things for Javier that he did not have last year. And he still has a really good four seamer. Jose Quintana needs command on all of his pitches and he has his curveball and his changeup down, but the sinker and four seamer, the command of it is really spotty right now. So he went three innings, five earned runs, three hits, four walks, six Ks. Expect that to be better sometime this season. But for right now, we are going to pass. It's a Vargas rule in season at some point. Don't know when, but yeah, not right now. We're going to talk about all the other games, the ones that were in StatCast and not on TV, the other TV games that were not StatCast, and of course the no TV, no StatCast games after this break.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories, but your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Jake Irvin, 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Remember the velocity jump he had? Yeah, it's gone. Nope, not there. He has a cutter, but bad command, and no. Miles Michaelis, 5 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. Honestly, kind of encouraging because he's only throwing about 30% fastballs now and then threw 20 sliders, the same amount of fastballs that he threw, right? Leaning into your best pitch is a good thing, especially as you age and also moving away from fastballs that get hit more. Maybe there is a Toby in here as the defense is good for the Cardinals. Just throwing it out there. I don't want to do it, but maybe. Clayton Beter, that is for the Yankees. 4 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. You've been following the Yankees with Beter, with Heal, and with Warren. Beter was looking like he had a step above Warren because Warren isn't on the 40 man, but he is obviously not getting because Luis Heal has it. I would imagine that Beter will show up at some point. He is 2-pitch, 4-seamer and slider, has not really shown anything else. And that's a problem because the 4-seamer, I mean, it's good, and so is the slider, 8 whiffs here. But I need something else. I need another offering if he's not focusing on two elite pitches, right? Spencer Strider's 4-seamer and slider are both elite. And Clayton Beter is not like that. So I do not want to chase it until I see Beater really focusing on a cutter or a curveball or a change, or just something else in there that makes me feel like there isn't going to be a day where they say, okay, cool, the four seamer is what we're keying in on, I should say, and they destroy Clayton Beater. Tanner Bibee is an interesting one, has been for a while for me. 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. And when I think of Tanner Bibee, what I think of is a four seamer that just is not a good shaped four seamer, and a slider and changeup that should get whiffs. Now, Bibee commanded this four-seamer really well in this one. Top of the zone, exactly what you want. My gosh, if Luis Seal commands his four-seamer like this and stays Verde, as Bibee says, he will have so much success, right? But Bibee doesn't have that kind of four-seamer, so what does he get? 5 whiffs on 43 thrown for about a 11-12% swing strike rate. And when you locate that well, and that's what the swing strike rate is, yeah, it's not that great. So his other pitches were his slider and his changeup, which I don't think he commands incredibly well, and he threw them in the zone here. So this was 38 of those thrown for just 3 whiffs. So I don't know how to feel about this. I don't really know if Bibee can be trusted. However, throwing strikes is good for Bibee. I'm fine with that, especially when it's the changeup and the slider involved with it, right? I don't want Bibee to be this shotgun blast guy. That's really the thing I'm worried about. Then his four-seamer, when it's not spotted well, just gets hit hard, right? And it did perform well upstairs when he did it. It was just a lot of balls in play here, and especially a favorable BABIP, I mean, just 2 hits, that I'm a little cautious, but the infield defense is better for the Guardians this year because they have Kai Correa, that amazing genius infield defensive coach. So, yeah, I guess I'm kind of in on Bibee now. It took a long time. I mean, I didn't really think he had the skill of this kind of precision with his four-seamer. Maybe he didn't. It's just one spring start. But I think maybe I have been a little low on him. And there's an argument to be made like he's better than Snell or something like that, you know? He's not better than Imanaga. I got to figure out where I'm going to put him. But I have him higher than Pivetta, as I should. And I have him right with, like, Tristan McKenzie, I believe. So, I mean, that's where I'm at with Bibee. I still have my hesitations about his overall command and how consistent he is, and if that four-seamer is just going to be the end of him or the death of him. But the changeup and slider getting strikes is solid, so we're cool there. And then Zach Gallen, 4 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. His velocity is down on his four-seamer a tick. It's 2 ticks on the changeup and 3 on the curve and slider, which is not good. Then you also have the 240 innings from last year that he threw, and now, I don't know, I've already been down on his durability for this year because of that. I'm out on Zach Gallen at the moment. Julio Teheran was released by the Orioles, 4 innings of 0 runs, we move on there. Chase McDermott did follow them, 4 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. It's interesting, I like him more than Povich. The Orioles like Brewster more, apparently. We're going to find out more about Chase McDermott this year. I'm pretty excited about it. It's just fun to know some of the guys we're going to be seeing this year and if they're going to be interesting for our fantasy teams. Zach Eflin is looking good. 6 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Ross Stripling, 4 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. This stuff is normal, right? Like, Zach Eflin is fine. Ross Stripling exists. You guys don't need me. Nathan Eovaldi, 4 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. No word on velocity, but yeah, you don't need me. Cal Quantrill doing ridiculous things for Colorado, whatever. Angel Zerpa, and Hal Zerpa is what I'm told he's supposed to be pronounced. 3.1 innings of 0 runs. He might be the backup for Alec March. Maybe it's Jordan Lyles. Maybe it's Daniel Lynch the fourth, but Angel Zerpa is not someone they really should be focused on at all. Frankie Montas is going to be starting for the Reds on opening day in Cincinnati against the Nationals. 5 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. I don't want to trust it. It's in Cincinnati. I know it's the Nationals, and maybe Frankie Montas can do it. And if look, if you're in a deeper league, sure, maybe you can steal a win there, but I just don't want to do it. Logan S. Allen, not Logan T. Allen, so this is for the Diamondbacks. 4 innings and 5 runs. Look, the Diamondbacks need help as their SP5 with Eduardo Rodriguez out. Even though after they signed him, they're not going to have him for a little bit because of a lat injury. So who was there in SP5? Maybe it's Tommy Henry. Maybe it's like Ciccone, as, you know, Suarez likes to jokingly say. Or Bryce Jarvis. Maybe it's Slogan. That's what I'm going to call him to differentiate from the other Logan Allen. But yeah, we don't care. Kyle Harrison, 3.1 innings of 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Hey, look, it's a cherry bomb. You know this. You're going to be tempted by his strikeouts at some point, but this is the life you're going to sign into. Up 4, whatever you want to say, if you go after Kyle Harrison, and I just don't want to touch that. Wade Miley, 2 innings of 0 earned runs. He's going to be on the IL to start the year, so Joe Ross came in for 5 innings of 3 earned runs and 4 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Yeah, we're not going to go after Joe Ross. Ben Brown went 4 innings of 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. And it's kind of interesting with Caleb Killian out for a bit and the Cubs needing a 5th in the meantime because Jameson Taillon's lower back is still an issue. So you have Javier Assad and Hayden Wesneski as the SP quote-unquote 5 right now. So maybe Ben Brown is another option for the Cubs suddenly, and that's why they pushed him to 4 innings. I've always seen him as a reliever. And also with his fastball slider combination with, I don't really think that great command, he's a shag rug guy, right? Like, well, he's not a shag rug guy. He's a cherry bomb with a ton of shag rug influence. Shag rug just means that you're a rookie and you're more volatile than veterans, but he's going to be a volatile one with those two pitches and not that great command. Yariel Rodriguez went for the Jays, 3 innings, 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 1 strikeout. It's possible Yariel Rodriguez helps in the rotation during the year. The Jays have mentioned that they signed him to be a reliever, but also that long reliever type to fill in innings when needed. I don't think we needed to chase that one. Corbin Burns looked fine. 5.1 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. Where is like the ace that you guys are drafting number 2, right? I mean, I put him at number 2. Where is he? He's just going to show up at some point, right? At least he's not going 4 earned runs, 5 earned runs anymore. And none of those games mattered in the spring, so he'll be fine, right? Cool. Chris Paddock, 4.2 innings of 3 earned runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. I'm not really seeing anything so far that makes me excited for Chris Paddock, so I'm just going to be tepid on that one and move on. And Nick Pivetta, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, but 9 strikeouts. There we go. I needed to see something like this from Pivetta. It's much more... I've been really back and forth with, should I be relying on the command of Pivetta to actually be there? We haven't really seen this big outing from him yet. And to see something like this is saying, okay, cool. I think we can still be somewhat in on Pivetta. I mean, it's really like Pivetta and Yusei Kikuchi are kind of linked in this way. I trust Pivetta a little bit more than I do Kikuchi. But I still feel like Casey Mize is just better, but not... It's all very weird. Like, what I see with Casey Mize is a four-seamer that's really good and he lives up top with it and he can just roll 6 innings with it. He also has a slider that I think should be better than what we've seen this spring and hopefully a splitter that's better. But that's kind of it. But the four-seamer is really the foundation. Well, with Nick Pivetta, there is more volatility. Like, I don't think that you're ever going to see a 3-3 ERA season from Nick Pivetta over a full year. It just doesn't quite add up because I think his four-seamer is not pristine with its command. It is a good IVB pitch, but not the most elite extension and not the flattest angle. Then you throw in inconsistent command of the secondaries that really need help, but there are days where it just works out and his whirly bird sliders here and there's that sweeper going 9 Ks or really helping him earn them. So then you have the Kikuchi with weirder command, but then just generally living in the zone and being effective. They're all different archetypes and they can all work out really well. So I guess Pivetta is in the safest situation for innings and has showcased that large K per walk and it just makes a little bit more sense among those three guys. Mize, I feel just safe with. He was a Toby beforehand. Now he just has a better four-seamer. Just think of it that way. And that's pretty cool. So that turns into like a Holly, right? And Kikuchi is should have the command back. There you go. It's weird. We're going to have an update on Wednesday. We'll all talk about it. Come join the stream in the morning and I'll discuss some more. Looking at the last final games here, we have Strider and Kirby. Ace is going to ace. Aaron Savali looks good. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. We really just needed to see a start to say, okay, cool, thumbs up. Josiah Gray, 4 innings of 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. It's nice to see strikeouts, but yeah, I don't have anything to say like, oh, look, Josiah Gray is just demonstrably better. And because of that, I am absolutely avoiding him. And last but not least, Nick Mastrini. Oh, man. So the 5th rotation spot for the White Sox is this kind of interesting mystery because you have like Drew Thorpe there, you have Mastrini there, and both of those guys are exciting prospects. But then you have like Jake Woodford that could just take it as well. And after this outing for Nastrini, 3.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 5 walks, and 0 strikeouts, yeah, there's no way the White Sox just say, you know what, I don't care, let's just throw him into the rotation. Like, they will put Jake Woodford in there, and then they will wait on Nastrini and make sure he's passed all the clocks and stuff so they get an extra year of him, all that stuff. And then you'll see him, right? So, a little disappointing. I was hoping to see something fun there with Nastrini, maybe even Drew Thorpe. But yeah, no, I would not expect Nastrini to break camp, and nor should you have him on your team as a spec ad at this point, considering just how bad this was. So we can move on from that one for now. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for listening. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.